Welcome back to the Fostering Conversation podcast presented by Welcome Home Youth Advocacy. We are glad you've joined us for another episode. Sitting around the table today, we have Mike Schaefer, Ryan and Hillary Jarrell, and myself, Brant Nine. Before we get started with our conversation, Mike, remind us briefly about what Welcome Home is and how you are looking to support the foster and adoptive community.
Yeah, Welcome Home is a nonprofit here in Northern Indiana. We started to, like you said, support the foster and adoptive community here and help these kids and families get the support they need with just the day-to-day struggles they go through. And that's, you know, and the podcast is to share stories so people feel seen and heard with their experiences that they're going through. And that's really the reason we've invited Ryan and Hillary to join us today. You guys want to introduce yourselves and give us a little background?
Yeah. We're obviously Ryan and Hillary Jarrell. We have been married for 17 years. We live in Napanee, go to Napanee Missionary Church. We have three wonderful children. Our oldest, Mackenzie, is an adult out of the house, and then we have two teenagers as well.
Awesome. What is your guys' connection to the foster and adoptive community?
We have been foster parents for the last 5 years. I'm also a part of the foster and adoptive ministry at Napanee Missionary Church, and I'm also working with a nonprofit, Village to Village, on a class for, it's called the HALO program, for foster and adoptive families, and then a part of Welcome Home with you. So exciting.
Yeah. What kind of led you guys into fostering? Was it something you guys always planned on doing? Was it just, did it just feel a calling later on after you guys were married and had your own kids? Was it just, yeah, how did that happen?
Definitely not our plan. It's been very much a God thing. I would say I was one of those people who said I could never do that. Mm. It would be too hard. But God started working on my heart in when I was working in the nursery at church, and there were some foster children, a few foster children that came through the nursery, and God just started tugging on my heart. We started having conversations. We started running into people that were encouraging, like just making it clear that God was continuing to tug on our hearts and leading us down this path. And it was just people that God was specifically placing in our paths. And you can't ignore that when God keeps putting it in your face.
Ryan, I'm thinking about from like a dad's perspective a little bit, and I'm wondering, like, you're looking at your family dynamics, right? Like, this is what I do, right? And I'm looking at our family dynamics and how will our kids function in this way? And are we creating an environment that's good for everyone? Are we making it poorer for some and better for others? And so I guess from a father and a husband's perspective, like, what were some of your concerns, and then when was the light bulb like, yeah, we got to do this?
I think over as we were working with Kidman at Napanee Missionary Church, seeing the need, mm-hmm. and when I saw Hillary really start to get passionate about this, I'm like, man, I'm gonna have to accept this, and yeah. or I gotta jump in, or right. you know, see what this looks like. I think after we got in to fostering, after we got our first placement, I really started getting a taste of what this looked like.
Yeah.
You know, we had two little boys right out of the gates and really got engaged with them, and seeing our kids come along beside them and our families, really, you saw the teamwork in this. It was very draining, tiring. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough, but you really see, I mean, when you get in, boy, it's very rewarding spiritually and just being a part of them.
Yeah.
It's been good.
Absolutely. I had the privilege of teaching Micah and Mia when they were in fourth grade at Woodview Elementary. And something I've seen as an outsider's perspective is just how fostering actually helped mature them. And they came alongside you guys and saw the need and wanted to minister in that way too. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
So you guys have mentioned your bio kids. What was their initial reaction when you guys decided to foster? What were their thoughts going into all that?
I think we all had no clue what we were getting into. I think they were excited for some friends to come and live with us and play and just have fun all the time.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's what they kind of thought they were getting into.
Yeah. So you guys have said you've been fostering for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
How many placements have you had in those 5 years?
We've had 14. Wow. And then one that has come back for a second time.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, what is the average time for the placement?
We've had kids for a couple days, and we've had the two little boys were with us for a year and a half, and then we've had another child that has been with us for almost a year and then now back for another year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm.
So anywhere in between.
This is kind of, I just got to say something right now.
Yeah.
This is kind of neat because, you know, you grew up in this system and you, I mean, you've talked about, and I hope I get this right, you were in 8 placements in 3 years.
Yep.
And I mean, obviously more placements than that after that time period, but the reality is right now in the room, you have a guy who grew up in the foster care system and had experiences that you're talking about just from the other side of things. So Mike, did you ever, when you got placed, did you ever feel like there were times when you were gaining friends? And then did you feel like there were times when you were gaining kind of a burden in some way?
Yeah, that's a funny question. It's interesting, the balance of all that in your head. I think as a kid, yeah, you're excited to meet new kids and kind of see what that's like and have new playmates when you move along. But there is a big sense of loss once you move and you leave those situations as well, because you're losing those friends and you're going to a new area and you're going to new parents and new kids at school and all that. So yeah, there's definitely a back and forth with that for sure. Guys, what has been some of your experiences fostering, whether good, bad, some of your ups and downs? I know there's a lot that goes into all that for sure.
Yeah. I would say the growth that we've seen in our family, has been incredible. But then there's also been a lot of hard, as well. But one really awesome God story, that he's allowed us to be a part of was our first placement. I was thinking that we were going to just adopt some babies and kind of maybe a little bit of a, savior complex a little bit. But God has really, changed our hearts. And we really see this beauty of reunification.
Mm.
And it all started with this first placement that we had. These two little boys came in, and they just completely just stole our hearts. And mom, who we thought we were rescuing them from, was actually just someone who needed support. And she ended up going to the spa ministry home in Elkhart and accepted Christ and completely changed her life around. And so we had the privilege of being that Christian family for her boys, teaching them a new way to live while she was learning a new way to live. And they are home now. She's clean. She's married to an amazing Christian man. She is one of my favorite people in the whole world. And so just to think, like, we could have missed out on that opportunity, and they're a part of our family now.
Yeah.
And so it's just, that is one of those unexpected things that we did not go into this thinking that we were going to have an extended family through this.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
What about for you, Ryan? The good, the bad, the unexpected?
Well, kind of piggybacking that, you know, God knew. I was going to start saying that I think God knew, but God definitely did know what I needed to see right out of the gates with these two boys and the whole scenario. I saw Hillary on a weekly basis, keeping a journal, sending a pad of paper to the mom, just listing off everything the boys are accomplishing, and just to help her relax that we're not trying to take your kids.
Yeah.
We're trying to support you.
Sure.
And I thought these boys might potentially be ones we adopt, or I didn't know. But it was really neat to see now. I mean, Hillary still is very diligent. We try to get the boys once a month.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're like aunt and uncles to them.
Yeah.
And just the relationship is exactly what I needed to get engaged quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, that way I had some buy-in like right away. Mm-hmm. And so it was really good. One thing that I try to do with the kids, as I thought about it more, Hillary, you know, does so much with the kids. She needs a break.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'll be like, hey, let's go take a walk. Let's go for a bike ride. Right. And the kids end up, you know, after you do it for a little bit, they end up opening up and, you know, they tell you about their day. They tell you about how the visit went with their parents or mm-hmm. what they wish they had, or, you know, just you build that bond.
Yeah.
And it's tricky to build a bond, especially as a guy, because mm-hmm. a lot of them have, you know, issues with their dad, or right. they don't have a dad, that kind of thing. So there's a big responsibility there on my shoulders. And I kind of put that there. That way I can get to know them and try to represent for them. That's been a big thing for me.
Yeah. What about, has there been, on the flip side of that, has there been a bad experience with reunification? Like I hear all the horror stories, right? And so, I guess I have that question for you guys. Have you experienced where you don't want the kid to be reunified, at least at this point? The parent's not ready, but the system thinks they are, those kind of things. Have you experienced that?
That is definitely an issue. And we have definitely seen that part of the broken system through friends. Mm-hmm. Indiana is a reunification state, and we love reunification, but sometimes it is to a fault mm-hmm. Because the parents are not ready to have the kids back, and it's not a safe situation.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely have seen that. We have not had that experience personally. All of the kids that have been in our home have either gone back to parents or to family members mm-hmm. in some way. So it's just... it's been the path that God has put mm-hmm. in front of us.
Yeah.
But I definitely know that's an issue for sure.
Right.
So, yeah, I think me and you, Hillary, have talked about this a little bit when we've met privately. The reunification thing, like, I kind of go back and forth and I struggle with it, because there's a point where I think it's really good because everybody desires for their family. And mm-hmm. I think their family is really important. Do you think that the system and or the state is doing a good enough job helping these parents and training these parents? I mean, the kids got put into the system for a reason. You know, are these reasons being fixed before they go back? Or are we just putting these kids back into the same situation they just left?
I have a very strong opinion about that. I think we have a broken system where the workers are overworked and underpaid. Mm. And I don't think the parents often get what they need fully, and I don't know that there's a good answer to that with just the government system that we have, and not completely their fault. I think there's just that overworked and underpaid. But on the flip side, I also know that there's no amount of help that you can give someone mm-hmm. to stay clean or to stay out of bad situations without having that change that only God can bring. And so that's where we really need the church and Christian families to come around these families. Because that is the only way they're going to have lasting strength to stay clean or to stay away from whatever, you know, they were involved in that caused them to lose their children.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting because in my experience growing up the way I did, and my parents being in the situation they were in and having the struggles they had, I honestly, you know, I was bitter about it for a long time. But as I look back and I reflect, I think it's better that I didn't go back and forth, and it's better that I didn't have contact with my parents, just because they never were able to make that change in their life, and they never were able to get over that hump. And I just think it was better for me as a kid and my siblings to not have that. I think it's really hard for kids to bounce back and forth and to be put with their family and taken away and put with their family and taken away. You're just adding more trauma to these kids' lives, I think, when you keep doing that over and over again.
Absolutely.
And I think the recidivation rate for kids that get placed back that were put into their families too early is pretty high in Indiana, from what I understand. So,
but if you think of, you know, these kids that are taken out and we know about them, and then we can wrap around their family and provide them support and have a community for the kids, have a give them a tribe.
For sure.
You know, we could make real changes. And yeah, I know we can't do that for everyone, but every person that we're helping is going to have a ripple effect.
Yeah. Well, we talked about, like, Indiana's, and again, you check me on my numbers, Mike, but Indiana is ranked fourth.
Yeah, fourth highest ranked kids. Yep.
With the rate of kids who are in the system, I see that as a major problem as well. And I think, you know, part of the reason it's that high is because there's so many, and I'm included in this, who were or are just very uneducated about the situation. And then they want to help, but they don't know how to help, or they don't have, there's not enough families in their tribe that have the experience to give guidance, or there's not enough resources, or there are, but you can't find them because they're not, you know, laid out in a correct way. And so that's a problem I think Welcome Home is trying to address, is educating people, but also providing those resources all in one area.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of my initial goals, and has been one of my driving focuses in this whole thing, is, like Hillary alluded to, is community. I think community is a huge part of this. We need to raise awareness so the community can be more involved and surround these kids and these families. They need help. You know, sometimes people get into bad situations and it just, they need help getting through it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. So you guys have been involved in this community for 5 years now. What do you see as some of the bigger problems in the foster and adoptive community?
Like Brant was saying, just a lack of education. And I think our specific community is working on that. And I have seen so much growth over the last 5 years. But I think that we need to be more trauma informed, understanding that the trauma brain is different, and, it helps you to view these kids as, you know, they're, when they have behaviors, they're expressing a need. Mm-hmm. They're not bad kids. And so I think there needs to be more education on that. And then more just, I've personally seen that there are a lot of people that want to help and they just don't know how. Yeah. And so just more organized ways to provide opportunities to have people help. I know our churches, we try and structure things to get meals to families, or to find ways to get resources to families. They have, you know, like someone that they can connect with, and then we're starting to build a pool of people that we can reach from, that we can pull from. So care communities are something that we're doing at our church. It's a group of 5 to 7 people or couples that wrap around a foster family and just support them for a year.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, so more organized ways to help families.
So you spoke to trauma brain a little bit, and that's a term when I was a kid didn't exist in the 80s and going through this stuff, but there are definite behaviors that I saw in myself growing up because of the trauma that I went through, because of those situations. You know, I had a constant need for control because I always felt out of control as a kid. I know a lot of kids in foster care, there's a lot of physical lashing out because of these kids don't know how to process some of the things they're going through. So I know Indiana requires, was it 15 years or 15 hours each year of training
for DCS.
For DCS, what would be some training that you would recommend beyond that for foster parents or people looking into that that are interested in, just to give them, you know, some idea of what that looks like, what, how to deal with trauma in kids, and
TBRI, trust-based relational intervention, is the ticket. That's the way to go. It is so incredibly helpful. There is a simulcast that will be happening at Napanee Missionary Church in April. I think April 10th. It's right after spring break on Wednesday nights, from 6:15 to 8 for 5 weeks. So that is so incredibly helpful. Lost Sparrows in Warsaw, or in Winona Lake, they do a conference in the fall every year. They have incredible teaching. They bring people from all over the United States. Any podcasts, anything that you can do to learn about how trauma affects the brain, in TBRI, is it is a way of connecting with the children before you correct them, in building that relationship.
I think that's super important. I think some of these kids, like you said, get labeled as bad kids or problem kids just because they don't know how to process the things they've been through. And if you can kind of understand their mindset and where they're coming from, you're not so quick to be like, this kid is a terrible kid. I can't handle him. I got to get rid of him. And that, it just makes it worse for the kid.
Ryan, can I ask you, and then we'll head over to Hillary. What is some advice that you would give to someone on the fence about fostering?
I think if you are going to go forward with fostering, I think you got to educate yourself. And the education, and I think, should start with like the TBRI that Hillary's talking about. It, you know, you don't have to be part of a medical field or anything to want to learn this stuff. I mean, it's parts of the brain and just how it works. And you just got to want to learn. And I think you really need to educate yourself what you're getting into, and because you got to get better. Really, no matter what you do in life, you got to strive to get a little bit better, you know, from where you're at, or want to get better. I think it's, if you want to make a difference, it's definitely worth it. You know, as far as if you're on the fence, you don't have to have, you know, we've seen single parents do this. If you have a partner, you know, it definitely makes things, if you're, you know, somewhat on the same page, or, you know, you're working together, it definitely is helpful, you know, because you get tired. You know, you're like, man, what do we do? And, but yeah, I think those are definitely key things. And, you know, 5 years ago when we started this, you know, all these resources weren't popping up, you know, and I've seen Hillary and the adoptive and foster team just dig and like create so much, and just the community that they're bringing along beside them, you know, gives people options now. You know, it's, I'm not saying it's not intimidating, but it's, there's help, you know, and that I think that's the neat part to see. And a lot of these, you know, the team come along beside, now Mike's jumping in, and this is just exciting to see where this is going.
Absolutely. Hillary?
Yeah, if you're on the fence, I would say have coffee with some people who are fostering and kind of get an idea of what it really is like. Get trauma informed for sure. And then just, you know, if you pray about it, because if you are saying no because you're scared or because you think it's going to make you uncomfortable, you need to do it. if you think that you shouldn't because you really don't think this is the right season in your life, then maybe God's tugging at your heart to support a family. And so just diving into other foster families or youth, be a mentor, take some meals, just kind of get into the community. And maybe that's the way God, you know, wants to use you.
Ryan, Mike, you probably appreciate this analogy, but I'm thinking of that one scene from Remember the Titans, and Petey and Sunshine are walking down the block, and Sunshine's this white boy who wants to go into this restaurant, and he's from California, so he's experienced different things than what they have in Virginia, right? And he goes, all right, Petey, let's go in and have a bite. And Petey's like, I can't go in there. And Sunshine's like, yeah, you can. Like, come on, that's not a big deal. Come on. And so he goes in there, trusts his friend, right? And they won't serve Petey because he's black, right? And they kick him out, and Petey's livid at Sunshine. He's like, I told you. I told you. And what does Sunshine say? He says, I didn't know. Yep. And Petey's like, you didn't want to know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a challenge to our community, especially now that we're gaining some foster and adoptive resources and people to educate us. It's now it's, do you want to know? Like I'm challenged as a body of the church, the Big C Church, like how many of us want to know to be able to help, or do we want to live in ignorance with the issues that are at hand?
Mm-hmm.
So
I think Brian also, Hillary mentioned like, just bring a meal to somebody.
Yeah.
Like I can't express in a, you know, I like to eat, so I'm a guy. I mean, I like to eat, so that's a big deal to me.
Amen.
But, you know, getting a new foster placement, if somebody brings you a meal, mm-hmm. even that first week, holy cow. I mean, you're like going crazy trying to figure out like this kid's routine mm-hmm. and what's going to work for them. And then, oh shoot, we got to feed our own family,
yeah.
you know? And so to have a family, just drop a meal off, no questions asked, yeah. just like, hey, have a great night. I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
That's all they're doing.
Yeah.
And I mean, what a big relief, you know, for, you know, your family.
Right.
And your bio kids are like, sweet, what do we get? Usually yeah. there's like brownies or there's,
yeah.
you know, and so it's like, it's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all this newness in our house and you got people supporting yeah. and they're throwing in prayers along yeah. beside that. So, I mean, when Hillary says bring a meal, like if that's all you can do, yeah. is humongous.
Yeah.
You know, please reach out to these people around you.
Yeah, that's great perspective.
So something I hear a lot when people say they have fear about fostering, what would you say to people that say, I don't want to do it because I'm afraid I'm going to get attached to these kids?
Mm. They, oh, that might make me cry. They need you to get attached. These kids need to know that they are seen and valued and loved.
Mm-hmm.
They need someone to be so happy that they're there and to be heartbroken when they leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every kid needs to feel that. I think, you know, that's one of those things when you're going through that system, you don't feel loved when you're being passed around and you're being given up on, or that's your perception of it. You feel like nobody cares and nobody loves you. And I think that's such an important thing for those kids to know and have in their life. Mm. So thank you mm-hmm. for sharing that for sure.
Yeah. And just to go off of what Ryan was saying with the meals, like another way you can indirectly support the families is just being sensitive to the biological children as well. That's been one thing that was a surprise for us. We are all in for the sacrifice. Our kids, like, they're in, but mm-hmm. they didn't completely get to choose this.
Yeah.
And so they're walking in this, we're building community, we're building, you know, we have our support group. I've got, you know, the foster moms I'm talking to when things are crazy, and their friends aren't doing this. And so it can be a very isolating thing for them. And that's something I didn't realize. And we're working through, and it's been beautiful because it's brought us closer together, and God has put different people in their lives at just the right time to encourage them, yeah. Which has been a beautiful thing to see. But that was something I did not expect, was they're seeing the trauma in the house and they're making sacrifices. And so when they're feeling things, they can't just go talk to their friends about it because they don't get it. So anytime, especially, you know, parents encouraging their kids to be understanding, or teachers or youth group leaders, like it is a huge ministry just to make sure that the biological kids are feeling seen and heard as well.
Absolutely.
I think along with the biological kids, I know something Hillary did really well early on, our first couple of years. Like Hillary would reach out to people in our church trying to find mentors for our own biological mm-hmm. kids, just to get them out of our house once a week, every mm-hmm. other week, with, you know, it's usually somebody involved in youth group or mm-hmm. or like a small group leader, somebody that can still invest in our biological kids.
Yeah.
Not so much about fostering, but just keep their life going.
Yeah.
And have somebody dumping into them, yeah. whether it's, you know, one of the guys used to play video games with Micah,
yeah.
or go disc golfing, or just like get them, like dump into them, our yeah. kids, and keep building them up. You know, so they're not just getting left on an island
right.
while we're dumping into our foster kids.
Right.
You know, so it's been, that's been really, really, really good.
Yeah. Wow.
So moving forward, guys, how would you guys like to see Welcome Home and the community as a whole get behind and support the foster and adopted community? What are the best ways that we can, you know, support this group of people?
I am so excited for what you're doing. I feel like at Napanee Missionary Church, we have we've been building some community within the Wani school system. And there's just been some pieces that God has kind of put roadblocks in. And I think what he's put in front of us, we've done well.
Mm-hmm.
But you're bringing a piece, one, being able to relate to these kids. And that has been huge. The foster closet is going to be huge. and just your desire to connect these different resources that are out there and have kind of like a hub for ways to help is going to be huge. And so I love what you're doing, and it's just something that has been on our hearts and we've been praying for, and here you are.
Mm.
Yeah, I was thinking a lot of the people that's involved in all the ministry around here, none of them had been foster kids.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, when there's issues that pop up, Mike's like, yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah.
You're like, wow. He's lived it.
Yeah.
And like that, I mean, you're bringing us to a whole different level where people's got that instant respect and we got to listen to you. I mean, because you've been there. Yeah. And your heart is, you're all in, you're passionate, you're, I mean, this is your job right now.
Yep.
I'm like, and I heard your wife say that the other night. I'm like, for the last 6 months or a year, this is what you've been, you're all in. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, if you have if Bran or I, you know, if we do this, you know, people would be like, oh, that's a good thing that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but when you're doing this, like, this is, you literally know, you feel what these kids are going through. Mm-hmm. You know what they need. And like, the passion is there and you can see it. I see it in your eyes.
Yeah, man. That's pretty awesome. I do want to acknowledge, you know, Ruth has some sacrifice in this as well, right? As you put a ton of your time and energy into this, she has been there as a prayer warrior and as your biggest cheerleader as you do this. So shout out to Ruth for that.
Big time.
But yeah, it definitely takes a village for sure. Any last thoughts, Mike?
No, I just want to thank you guys so much for joining us and coming on and sharing your story and, you know, being open and honest about all of it. I think it takes a lot of courage to do that, and I think it's good for people to hear from other people in these situations and that can relate. You know, I think that's super important, so thank you.
Hey Mike, I do want to say, like, for spouses, like, if, let's say the wife wants to foster and the husband's kind of on the fence and, like, sitting in the back, I just want to speak to that one spouse that's all in. Like, be patient mm-hmm. with that guy or that other spouse that's not in. Mm-hmm. You know, pray for them, encourage them, don't get down on them right away. But I mean, God can mold them and work on them, and he'll put other people on their path to, like, man, you know, talk about fostering, and then it'll all start circling around. It's wild. So it's a good thing.
That's good.
You know, I also want to thank you guys just for fostering and having the heart to do it. It takes a lot. I get it. And, you know, you guys are really affecting generational change in these kids' lives, and that's an amazing thing.
Absolutely. Well, to our listeners, we hope this story has resonated with you in some way, shape, or form. And for more information about Welcome Home Youth Advocacy, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and our website, welcomehomeyouth.org. We're signing off for now. May God bless you in the days ahead.